I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Andy here. I hope you're well. Every week throughout the summer, we'll be bringing you some of our favourite episodes from this season on Football Ramble Presents. First up, it's At The Match, which I always love doing. And back in November, I went to Camp Nou for some Champions League action as Barcelona took on Benfica. You'll hear that the reduced capacity crowd was still in great voice as they cheered on the newly installed Xavi and company. And I also spoke to Rick Sharma from Goal.com about Barca's recent struggles and their hopes for the future under their new crown prince. Enjoy. So, Camp Nou, it's all raining. What have they done to Spain while I've been away? So this is about an hour and three quarters before the game at the top of an as yet empty Camp Nou because they haven't started letting people in. And the noise you can hear in the distance is Benfica fans. There are a lot of Benfica fans here. They're the voices you hear around the stadium so far. So the feeling is this is a big night. Of course, Xavi has now made his debut as Barcelona coach in the home derby against Espanyol at the weekend, but this is special because it's his Champions League debut as a coach, and clearly there's still a lot of excitement and a bit of optimism with him having returned, but this is something that's really big for them. Just getting through to the next round in terms of money means a lot, with things being as tight as they are at the moment. So a bit of nostalgia, but also a bit of seizing the present as well. And the fact that Benfica are well in play here. And they feel that if they get a point here, that's a decent result and will enable them to go on and probably qualify from the group, given that Barcelona's last game is against Bayern, which, well, you wouldn't really fancy going needing to go to the Allianz and win in the last game, whichever team they choose to pick. Now, the gates are open. The away players are padding around on the pitch before getting into the kit and actually warming up. And the gates are open and people are starting to come in gradually. Camp Nou is still Camp Nou. There are loads of people getting selfies and all that sort of stuff. There's quite a strong touristy vibe to it. But I'm interested to see how much it does actually fill up this evening. For two reasons, really. One, because, of course, we're post-Messi, and there's no doubt that Barcelona are less attractive, less competitive as well with the financial situation at the club and all that sort of stuff. And also, because it's worth underlining, a lot of this stadium, which is due to be redeveloped at some point, is uncovered, the Camp Nou. So given the fact that it's lacing it down, I wouldn't be surprised if it put off certainly some locals off coming. Not that we're expecting it to be a sellout tonight anyway. There were tickets still available at all prices yesterday on the Benfica on the Barcelona website. The Benfica fans, quite a few of them are in already, all cagoled up, ready for the rain onslaught. So there's going to be plenty of that. It is making the pitch look incredibly green, which is very aesthetically pleasing, even to a colourblind gentleman such as myself. But yeah, we really want to see how many end up in the stands tonight. Before the game, I caught up with Rick Sharma, who writes for Goal, and having lived in Barcelona for many years, also does Siempre Positivo pod on the fortunes of FC Barcelona.
Souvenir coins.
Yeah, print your own one,
yeah. Yeah, oh, magnificent.
I made one in Russia with a hammer.
Did you?
Like it was in during the World Cup. It was one of those excursions they do sometimes with journalists. And you had to go there, you put the thing in, and you just have to hammer it until it prints it onto the coin.
How many hits did it take you?
It took me about 10, and then some big Russian man came and was just like, boom, and then it was done.
Yeah, not that Camp Nou's touristy or anything like that, but I guess that's my first question, Rick. If you think of the way that Camp Nou is compared to a lot of other stadiums around the world, it does have this touristy vibe to it. You know, people are coming in here, and before they take their seats, they're taking a selfie or whatever. What effect do you think Lionel Messi's exit has had on that?
A huge effect. Although I can't just judge it on Messi, because it's also been the pandemic as well.
Yes.
And for a long time, fans weren't allowed and tourists haven't been coming to Barcelona. The tourists are coming back bit by bit. I'm sure it's not at the level it was. But Messi brings, you know, a cruise liner comes in with 50,000 people on it. 40,000 of them come to Camp Nou, and 25,000 of them are here just to watch Lionel Messi. They don't care about football. They just wanted to say they saw Messi. So him leaving obviously has a big impact on the attendance. But we saw the other day for the first Xavi game back to about 70,000. So
right.
it's that is like, you know, on a normal day, you're looking at in Camp Nou about 80,000.
Yeah.
Then for the huge games, 99,000 sellout. So I think that the Messi effect is definitely telling, but it's not going to be the end of Barcelona in terms of attendance. Fans will still keep coming. The tourist machine will keep operating.
I mean, it's a strange thing, isn't it? Because we've looked at Camp Nou from afar this season, and it was an amazing thing when you saw the helicopter shots ahead of El Clasico, because the first time in ages, it looked full, and you could see queues. I mean, it is an enormous stadium. To even when you have a little bit of drop-off, what effect does that have on the atmosphere for you as someone who comes here regularly?
Well, I think the atmosphere, when it's full, on a night game, under the floodlights, big team, big occasion, is good at Camp Nou. But often it's not, even when it's full.
Mm.
So even if you've got 99,000 fans in here, and it's not, I don't know, and it's not, they're not pumped up for it, and they're whistling the referees. You know, it's very loud, but it's not a great atmosphere always. It's
right.
Only when they really get behind the team that it is a good atmosphere, even if it's full. And some of those games where there were 40,000 fans, 50,000 fans, were actually better atmospheres in terms of the support than some games when the stadium's been fuller.
What, because it's the hardcore, do you think?
Exactly. It's the people that are coming are the people that want to be here, not the ones who are coming to be entertained or just to see Lionel Messi or anything like that. So I think, you know, obviously the club does have a core of fans who come rain or shine. Today, definitely rain.
So what has been the Xavi effect for you so far?
I think Xavi's here for many reasons. One, to raise the morale around the club, which it got very, very low.
Yeah.
And he's done it already. And, you know, it's a work in progress. His tactics are are yet to be developed. We've seen in the first game was had more ball, they played wider, they used a lot of counter pressing and high pressing up the pitch. Good, but just the start, just scratching the surface really. And the team he set up today is another one where we're looking at the formation and we think he's using a formation that Barca haven't used in a really long time, or maybe even ever, well, at least since Johan Cruyff. And then, so, you know, that's going to take a while. But in terms of instant impact, it's already having an impact. We saw the weekend, the attendance was well up, the queues coming out of the gates, and today, I didn't get on the first metro. And it's been so long since that's happened when I've come to a Barca game, because it was just packed wall to wall. And you can tell there's flares outside, atmosphere in the streets, chanting. And often you come to Barca and it's a family thing, tourists like you say, but the people are really genuinely excited now Xavi is here. And maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't, but at least the ilusión, to use a Spanish word, the hope is back.
And I guess the philosophy here is as important as it is at any club, perhaps more than any club. I mean, as far as like not just the opening press conference, but all the first press conferences he's done, I mean, it felt weird before the Espanyol game. I almost didn't want to see the football because the press conferences were so perfect. The ideology was so perfect. He said everything right.
I think he's been fantastic in the press conferences. Like you say, he's a very good speaker. He knows clearly what he wants from his team, and he's not afraid to say it. The press conference after the Espanyol game I found fascinating because, to my eyes and to a lot of people's eyes, the last 20 minutes, Barca looked knackered to me, exhausted. Espanyol were on top and dominating.
Yeah.
And someone asked Xavi in the press conference, is there a physical problem with the team? And he goes, no, it's not a physical problem, it's a football problem. And that to me was really interesting because it's an easy get out. I mean, oh yeah, the players aren't fit yet. We've got to work on that.
Throw the previous coach under the bus.
Yeah. It didn't need any help with that, Ronald Koeman. But Xavi was just, he's so honest. He's just like, yeah, no, the players abandoned my ideas that I wanted them to do to the end because they were scared. They thought they were going to lose. They went defensive. They weren't doing what I wanted. And that honesty is important and impressive.
But it is a huge game tonight, undeniably, because not just is it important for the prestige of the club to get into the last 16, the Champions League, which they would with a win, but let's be honest, they need the money. I mean, as far as a second game in charge goes and a first Champions League game in charge goes, and given that he's part of such a successful era in the Champions League, being back in the Champions League for him does have some sort of historical resonance. There are no mistakes allowed tonight, are there?
Well, I don't know. I think in terms of what it means, absolutely not. No mistakes.
Yeah.
But if they lose 5-0, let's say, just as an example, you know, there's no one's going to be calling for Xavi's head.
Yeah.
Everyone at the club knows he is here for the long haul now, which is actually genius because it means that any player that doesn't obey him or doesn't listen to him is going to be the one that loses. You look at previous regimes under Quique Setién, any player that didn't like the coach was just thinking to themselves, well, I'll just outlast him. He'll be gone in three months.
Yeah.
Xavi's not going anywhere for, you know, the very minimum. We had a conversation about this the other day, some journalists and I, and we were saying the very minimum that he'll be in the job is at least until the end of next season, like regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
So even if they don't qualify for the Champions League, which would be a financial disaster, like you say, he's still going to be in charge because Xavi is kind of the end goal of where they've been going. So where do you go from there? You can't just oust him if things aren't immediately going to plan.
So you actually think that it's maybe an advantage for him to have this extra background of patience and the sense that he does have time to get all his ducks in a row and get everything right, and the sort of patience that maybe you wouldn't always get at a club of this size?
Without a doubt. I mean, the fact that he is Xavi in itself has earned him a load of time. The fact that the club got in such a bad position has earned him a load of time as well. It got so bad to the point where it was so bad it was worth coming to take over, because everyone can see plainly that the club needs a huge revamp. They have got no money. The squad is lacking. You know, they've lost Messi, Suarez and Griezmann in the last couple of years. That's three players who had between them, 100 goals, maybe a season?
Yeah.
They're looking at a lot of goals and there's no one, you know, there's a lot of good young kids coming through. But that's what they are, they're kids. So Xavi and the fact that the team is so young is another thing that buys him a lot of time. I think now is a good time for Xavi to come in and take over, because whatever happens this season, he'll get a pass and then he can have the summer and maybe they can sign someone next summer. You know, if they get through in the Champions League, that's what, 20 million or something, pick up from qualifying for the last 16 plus the money for qualifying for next season, they might be able to afford a decent signing next summer. Not maybe not a Haaland, certainly not an Mbappe, but you know, someone to let Xavi want. So we'll see how it goes.
So do you think, though, that despite the fact that everyone knows about Barcelona's financial problems and everyone's known about Barcelona's financial problems for a very long time now, as well as what's going wrong on the pitch, that word that you talked about before, ilusión, hope, because Xavi's brought so much of it, the first thing we saw, certainly, I guess, in sort of translated versions in the British press, was links of Barcelona with various other players, as if, like, everyone's so excited about him coming back that they've forgot they haven't got any money and there's going to be a very limited pot for him to dip into.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And at Dani Alves' presentation the other day, he's a player who's a good example of this. Came back for nothing on a free, and he's being paid almost nothing, the lowest, you know, they can possibly play him according to the laws in La Liga statutes. And in that presentation, the sporting director, Matthew Alemany, said, as of now, we have no money to spend on anyone. We can't register anyone. You know, and there's a story today saying that maybe Barca can get a loan deal in January, not a transfer deal, loan to him for 6 months, not Raheem Sterling, because his wages are just, you know, they're way too much for Barca to pay. But they are going to be looking at players they could loan for the rest of the season. Xavi said himself he doesn't want any midfielders. So any links to any midfielders you can rule out. He says we've got enough midfielders already. But what he does want, undeniably, is an attacker, someone who can get between 10 and 15 goals, play out wide, play, in theory, across the attack would be good for Barca, because he's relying on 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds from the youth team at the moment. Ilias came on, started in fact the other day and made his debut. And Eze Abde was very good as well. He's a 19-year-old from the academy. But as good as the youth players are, you need players who can guarantee you those goals. And those guys can't just yet.
And of course, there is Memphis. I mean, which is, it's really unusual situation, because the sense, certainly in France, was when he was signing for Barcelona, there was this feeling that he's overstretching himself. He's not quite of that level. But not only has he improved enormously since he's left Manchester United, but Barcelona have obviously dropped off a little bit and they've kind of met in the middle. So he's almost made to be the attacking leader of this team, certainly in the medium term.
Yeah, I mean, he has to be at the moment, because there's no one else. You know, Kun Aguero, maybe, you know, there's rumours he might not play again. We'll see how that goes. Ansu Fati is out injured. Dembele is just back on the bench for this game. Martin Brathwaite injured. I mean, he has to be the leader. There's no other option. But you are right. He has improved, and Barca have got worse. And the thing that's difficult is that Ronald Koeman was the guy that wanted him. He was a player that Ronald Koeman wanted, not last summer, the summer before. So he finally got him, and then Koeman was gone before he could have, you know, much time to work with Memphis. I think that he's been hit and miss at the start of this season. You know, a lot of his goals have come from the penalty spot. He's only scored a couple from open play. His best performance was, in fact, the first game of the season against Real Sociedad. Didn't score in that game, but he was great. But since then, he's never quite hit that level. So we'll have to see how Memphis goes. But as a piece of business, I quite like it. You sign him for free. If you don't like him next summer, you can sell him for, what, 40 million? That's actually a good way to make some money.
On the Dutch side of it, though, how sad do you think it is, and I guess do your colleagues in the media here think it is, what happened to Ronald Koeman? Because he has got an enormous part in the history of the club.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone agrees that it's sad that it didn't pan out for him and that, you know, he had to be sacked. But I think that everyone had gone way past the point of believing he should be given more time. The only person who thought he should have more time was Joan Laporta. He gave Koeman way too long. He should have been sacked after the first game against Benfica. Right, and then they went to Atletico Madrid, and Laporta, he was expected to be sacked after that game. Laporta came out and said, whatever happens, he's staying. So it was another stay of execution for a coach who was way out of his depth. Honestly, if he wasn't a former Barca player, there's no way he'd ever get this job, right? He's never shown anything in his coaching career to suggest he's capable of managing a team like Barcelona, a team of this size, or a team which fetishizes tactics. And Ronald Koeman seemed to have very little clue about how to influence a game from the sideline. He used to sit on the bench the whole match. Xavi didn't sit on the bench. Once from the start of the whistle against Espanyol, he was on the edge of his technical area, calling players over, giving, readjusting and changing things. And I think that's what the fans want to see here, not Ronald Koeman hiding.
The optics are important when it's going badly, aren't they?
Yeah, of course. And Koeman never cared about that, which is a problem. He upset the players with things he said as well. He would come out and he would say, oh, this player's not good enough, that player's not good enough. He'd blame the players, would never accept any blame himself, which is terrible as a coach. You've got to admit when you get things wrong, and he didn't do that, and he got a lot of things wrong. And The players were just fed up of him saying that they weren't good enough. They were fed up of him saying, oh, this squad's not good enough. We'll be lucky if we get through in the Champions League. We're trying to finish in the top four. Look, Xavi comes in and he's like, Barca is winning. That's what we're here to do. No one suddenly believes they're going to go on and win the Champions League. But he's at least giving the message that they, you know, could go far, could have an exciting season.
So finally, Rick, has he convinced you that they're going to do it tonight? Do you think Barcelona are going to do it tonight?
I have a podcast, and on this podcast I said I didn't believe that they, you know, they could win, but I didn't believe they were necessarily going to. They lost 3-0 at Benfica. The team's the same team. They've got a new momentum, new coach, new ideas. Benfica were much better that night. I don't believe that this Barca is a better team than Benfica, man for man, for example. So it's gonna be tough. But yeah, they can do it. I'm really excited for this game.
Can there be any better sight than a wind and rain swept Jorge Jesus on the touchline? I'm not sure there can be. Stealing the limelight even from Xavi. Plenty of willing for Barcelona so far. Plenty of enterprise. Not quite the execution. Pressed, got the ball back. Good break. Nico Gonzalez could have played it through to Memphis. Ended up giving it outside into Araujo, who just, well, shot like you would expect a centre-back to and sliced it a mile wide. But there is promise and optimism. Save, Lacorimos. Lovely move. Nico combo with Jordi Alba. Nico's been excellent so far. And they're really using the width of the pitch with Alba and Demir, who's been very, very good on the right-hand side as well, cutting into on his left foot. Gavi's just gone flying past about three players. Fans are justifiably excited by that. There you go. Well, great for Benfica here. Oh, the pass isn't good enough. It's Roberto. Listen to this, they haven't become Barca 2009 or 2011, 2015 or even last year's overnight. There's just a sense that there's a plan, just a little bit of belief really. tiny bit of that old swagger. And the crowd are really responding to that, despite the fact they're getting a proper old soaking. Oh, that save to Stegen. Oh! The follow-up from Vertonghen, blocked by Busquets. Woof! Juremčuk's header. And really, this is the first time Barcelona have had to do any defending. And it looks a little bit desperate. I mean, their best defending has been keeping the ball so far. Very much in a Barcelona tradition, of course. Oh, goal! What a hit! Otamendi, but it's not going to count. I can't believe that. Scores the goal of his life at Camp Nou, but they're already bent out from the corner. What an escape for Barcelona. Oh, Demirov crossbar. What a goal that would have been. Inside, onto the left foot, curled it, sort of hung in the air for a bit, and then just battered down off the crossbar, and Jordi Alba couldn't bring it down in time to put it away or to set up Memphis. Half-time, right on the dot there. Benfica have the hump a little bit as they were coming forward with the ball. But globally pretty positive that for Barcelona.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Thank you.
those fans' spirits not dimmed by the fact that after a brief break in the rain, it has started hammering it down all over again. You do wonder if the changes in order for Barcelona have not got quite the same pace to everything that they're doing that they did in the first half. Now, Ousmane Dembélé is one of those warming up at the moment. And you can't help feeling that he'd make an enormous difference. Oh, there goes Memphis. Took a bit long. Great recovery tackle by Otamendi. So Darwin, who absolutely terrorised Barcelona in that first game in Lisbon, is now on for Juremčuk. And Adel Tarat is Real Mario. Sure, quite a lot of you listening couldn't have imagined that Adel Tarat being here a couple of years ago. Great for Benfica there. They wanted a free kick for a foul on Demir, didn't get it. Led the counter attack and Darwin just put it wide, but here's a big sub. Demir off and Dembélé on. And quite a reception, as you can hear. Xavi's anointed one, of course, talked about him in his opening press conference, about how he had the potential to be the best in the world in this position. This game is set up for him. He's got the ball right here. Great surge and cross by Dembélé. De Jong's header. Frankie, that is, not Luke. Touched over by Odiseas, Barcelona corner. Already, Dembélé is really revving the Barcelona team and crowd up. Oh, hang on. I think Araújo might have been offside. It was a wonderful controlled finish. They didn't pick him up at the back post. The volley was great. I'm not sure if he's gone down in the corner because he's injured or because, yeah, I think it's a bit of cramp. He's calling for help. He's sort of bum shuffling like a baby.
So what,
in the corner. But yeah, he must have been a bit offside. Araújo, lovely finish. Four minutes of stoppage time for Barca to get this goal. 4 minutes. Here goes Dembélé. Oh, a great tackle by Otamendi. Oh, what a night he's having. De Stegen's not coming up just yet. Next corner, maybe. Piqué had her not far away. I sense Odiseas might take this over to the other corner of the six-yard box before he takes his goal kick. If he ever does take his goal kick, yeah, the referee's going and booking him now, and quite rightly so.
Looks like Yanis taking a free throw. Honestly, at this point, you're not ruling out and getting a second booking for time wasting. It's taking so long. Benfica have got a 2-on-1 now. If they play this right. Oh! Seferovic was clean through. He chipped it up over to Stegen. He just had to tap it in. Looked like the coolest finish ever. And he put it wide of the post. Barcelona is still alive and on the attack. Lazaro didn't get the call and he's put it out for a corner. Blimey. Blimey. Now to Stegen has to come up now, surely. He's not coming up. I'm disappointed, I must admit. Darwin's coming back though. Much up. It's done. Well, I tell you what, I love that. That's about, I think, fourth or fifth time I've been to Camp Nou, first time in a while, and comfortably my best experience there, because when I came before, it did kind of seem a little bit like the opera, whereas tonight there was some fire, even though it's comfortably the worst Barcelona team that I've seen in the flesh. It was my best experience, which, well, tells you everything you need to know about going and watching football live, doesn't it? Buenas noches.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was saying something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.